Are you listening to us out on your family camping weekend with the radio there beside the table? Maybe you got a little rain yesterday. Maybe you're listening to us from home. Maybe you're listening to us on the car radio running to and from the hardware store while you're trying to tackle a project around your house, home, castle, or cabin. Wherever you are listening to us, we want to thank you for making us a 26-year Saturday morning tradition for Arizona homeowners. It's Rosie on the House. At this 4th of July weekend, we're talking more than anything barbecuing. And we have been for the last 2 hours. And if you're not hungry now, I don't know what to tell you. We're only going to make it worse in this next hour, but please just hold out. I wanted to start this hour with a recipe for a barbecued steak, charbroiled steak, that absolutely will rock your socks. It will absolutely make you the envy of all your barbecuing friends. And it's my mother's recipe, Baby Kay's steak. And she starts with a steak. And in the Romero family, we have traditionally always been ribeye consumers. And I understand from butchers and from people that really know their meat that the New York can carry more flavor, be more full-flavored than a ribeye. But I guess we've always tended to the tender cut of ribeye, and then we'll just get the flavor infused into it with, generally, butter. here's what Mom does. She lightly salt and peppers the ribeye, and I will generally spread a small layer of butter over the ribeye before I salt and butter it. She'll put the butter in at a little bit later state. Take the steak and get it on the hottest grill you can get it on. And I mean, you're only going to throw it on that grill for a total of about 2 minutes, 1 minute each side, and you're literally just going to sear those juices in it. You take the steak off, and these are for those of you like the Romeros that like your meat medium rare. Okay, this is going to be a warm center. It's going to be a very red center. You take that seared steak, you throw it into a already preheated cast iron skillet and throw it in the oven and sear it at a high broiling temperature for about another couple minutes with just a touch of red wine. Remove it, flip it, do it again, pull it out. Go ahead and add a little reduced red wine, add some caramelized marinated onions and a few mushrooms, serve that over a bed of grits or black-eyed peas, and I'm telling you, it literally is a piece of meat that will melt in your mouth. And my theory on good barbecues, if you're doing a good barbecue, you see people licking their fingers. You know you've done a great barbecue if your guests are sucking each other's fingers.
Oh, I'm getting a visual here, Rosie.
That's then, when you know.
Then you know.
You got it.
You're the king of the heap there.
Yeah. You got it dialed in right there. And that brings up a sandwich that Romy and I had one time up by, actually it was up behind Yarnell in a little town of Walker.
Oh, my gosh.
And we asked that. We ordered two cheeseburgers, and we said...
It was Yarnell. No, People's Valley. It was in People's Valley.
Yeah. Kirkland is actually where it was. And we want two rare cheeseburgers. Okay, well, that's my specialty. I'll cook them up for you. These cheeseburgers, Stan, were the kind of cheeseburgers where the juice rolled off the bun, mm-hmm. down the backside of your hand, mm-hmm. all the way down your arm, and dripped off your elbow to the floor. And I couldn't eat it fast enough. It was the most delicious cheeseburger I've ever eaten. I said, man, what is your secret? He said, oh, it's easy. I melt a pound of butter for every 4 pounds of ground beef.
Oh, my. Oh.
Butter, butter, butter.
This is going to be the longest 50 minutes of my life until we get
Well,
this,
I'll tell you.
Sounds good.
Something that's caught my eye, I've seen the evolution of barbecue equipment over the last 10 or 15 years. And, you know, the more evenly spaced burners and the little briquettes, the ceramic briquettes that more evenly distribute the heat. You've got the big hot infrared scanner in the back for rotisserie, which we haven't even started talking about yet. But I'll tell you what, one thing that's really got my eye right now is this green egg. I'm really thinking there's going to end up one of those in my backyard pretty soon.
And it's not a new technology, in the respects of, 5 or 10 years. It actually was invented in 1974 by an Atlanta, Georgia resident. And it's an ancient technology with modern products.
Well, I tell you, it's Nancy and I bought one several years ago, and after having several of the smaller propane grills, we never did really get into the elaborate stainless steel ones that are available today. But I'll tell you, we have not ever had anything, not ever. That wasn't a double negative. Never had anything that didn't turn out absolutely just ideal. And we've baked bread, pizzas, our Thanksgiving turkey, we barbecue in it. Everything that comes out.
And you say barbecue, you didn't barbecue.
I'm sorry, grill.
Do you have a standard barbecue too?
No, we do not. No,
everything's done in that.
Everything is done on the green egg. I made that jerky I brought into the office a couple weeks ago on that green egg.
That was good.
And it's just a phenomenally diverse piece of equipment.
A lot of accessories in addition to
accessories.
The first unit.
And you can use it as a grill. You can use it as a smoker. You can use it as a brick oven. It can hold a temperature of, I cooked that jerky at 180 degrees. For 2 hours, and it came out just perfect.
And you didn't have to add additional.
Didn't have to add additional charcoal, and you use the lump charcoal that's an organic mix of oak and hickory, and you fill the container, you fill the bottom void of the egg, and you start your barbecue, and you do all your cooking. You're all done cooking. Well, you shut the airflow to the bottom and to the top of the green egg off to eliminate all the airflow. The barbecue fire goes out. The unburned briquettes, you just knock the ash off of them the next time you want to grill, and you reuse the unburned charcoal. So there's very little waste, like, the typical briquettes, you let them burn, and then you dump them in the metal trash can, and it's just, and everything comes out moist, and we'll have to have you over for dinner, and we'll have to have a Romero Zambrunnen barbecue on the green egg some night.
Mm-hmm. When we talked in the very first hour, just about energy savings as it related to using the heat outside. You're not asking your oven to heat up to 350 degrees or your stovetop to go on high inside an area you're trying to cool to at least 75 or below in the summer. So just the energy efficiency of cooking outdoors. But one thing that really I like about the green egg, and I haven't tried it, but everyone can test it. Yes, you won't scald yourself if you touch it. One of my big concerns is when I'm outside cooking is that metal's pretty thin. Mm-hmm. Either when I'm on my metal charcoal wood fire grill or the propane grill, either one of those. Little hands walking around, and you've got to be very careful that somebody doesn't come up. I have heard it's still hot. But you won't. It's not a scalding hot.
I agree. The material itself is 1-inch thick ceramic, and if you're not real careful, and I've done this, when you start to charcoal out charcoal, I leave the bottom and the top air vents open to allow the fire to get started, and I've walked away and I'm doing something on the grass or whatever, and I come back and it can be 700-800 degrees in there if you're not watching. Oh yeah, in a heartbeat.
Oh man.
So, it has the ability to get right up there, and I don't know how much hotter it would get. I've always had to shut it off before it pegged the thermometer, but you're right. The outside gets hot, but it's not scalding instantaneously like putting your hand on a burner. So there's a safety factor as well. So, yeah, they're
the biggreenegg.com. You can find that in our article in the Arizona Republic today. 1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you if you'd like to join the conversation. We got a couple callers we're going to get to. Carol in Phoenix has a peach cobbler she'd like to talk about. But before we get there, Tom is actually held on from last hour, calling in from Tucson, listening in on KNST, wants to talk about his barbecue secrets.
Let's hear it, Tom.
Am I on?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you for hanging with us.
Two things. The rib steak, that's my favorite, just like yours, Romy. you know, I'll take, you know, wait till they get on sale, and I'll go to the butcher, and I'll have him cut them an inch and a half thick. And I love my rib steaks. But what I called about was to let you know about, you know, your barbecue sauce that you make. I've been doing that for years and years, just buying the cheapest crap craft you can buy, and then adding the brown sugar. But something, if you would like to try it, you add 6 to 12 drops of that sriracha sauce, the one that you squirt out with the little chicken on it. Mm-hmm. That stuff will spice it right on up.
And say the name of it one more time.
Sriracha sauce. You can find it at almost all your grocery stores. It's a real, real hot sauce, and it's Oriental.
Yeah, when you said the chicken on it, that's exactly what I went to. That there was a great article on that company.
Mm-hmm.
Off the ship Vietnamese transplant in California.
In California.
Started it in his kitchen, and you can't go into a lot of Mexican restaurants carry them now.
Mm-hmm. His business absolutely just exploded to the point where the neighbors are complaining about the smell from the processing of the peppers that make the sauce.
Make you tear up a little.
Oh, boy.
1-888-767-4348 and take a quick break and come back and talk about Carol's Peach Cobbler here on a barbecue broadcast.